بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A product has a standard, and when it conforms with the standard, then it fetches its price. You purchase a commodity, and the commodity says SABS. So you feel very confident about the product. It gets the market, people value it and they appreciate it. By the same token, in the works that we do, we want some level of acceptance. الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. The last thing that we would like is that we work, and when we come up on the day of Qiyamah, we find that all the works that we have done have been rendered useless. We don't want that to happen. So Allah Ta'ala knows our sentiments. He knows how we think. He knows how we reason. And He also will understand and know that we want acceptance. But for that acceptance, there must be some standard. So the easy thing is that we need to study whether we're conforming to that standard. Because in this world, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nobody can say with certainty that you are a Jannati. Can you say? Can't say it. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a standard himself, and then he left behind a standard. The standard we call the Sharia. Right? So if there's going to be total conformity with that, that means you have conformed to the standard. And Allah Ta'ala willing, inshallah, you can become eligible. Right? Because you've conformed. This is the standard that Allah Ta'ala has proposed. Allah Ta'ala has confirmed and endorsed. Now, what does the standard stand for? What is the standard all about? If we know what is the standard, then we know how to conform. If we don't know what is the standard, then we don't know how to conform. We don't want it that we are just involved in wishful thinking. Like the Yahud, they were engaged in wishful thinking. Tilka amaniyuhum. Allah Pak says, they were involved in wishful thinking. Someone told them some dream, some story, so they felt that they are the elite and selected class. لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Their belief was you have to be a Jew to get into Jannah. So Allah Pak says, tilka amaniyuhum, is just wishful thinking. But then Allah Pak will then show you the standard. If this is wishful thinking, then He will show you a standard. And He will also show you where they have drifted away from the path. Why and how they have drifted away from the path, Allah Pak will show you. And then He will show you what is required of you. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. La comes to negate, to make nafi, to reject. In other words, these claims of yours, these are all rejected. You say, no, this is a standard, that is a standard. We are Jews, and we are Jews by birth, and we have got a birthright to be in Jannah. So these are all just your fanciful thinking. It is just your wishful dreaming. I am born of this lineage. I'm hailing from this family. So on the basis of me coming from this family, therefore I deserve this, therefore I'm eligible for this. These are all just wishful thinking. So when a lineage can't be of any use, then just attributing yourself to some pious person is also not sufficient. Just an attribution to some pious person, that's also not sufficient. Otherwise, all of us are Bani Adam. Who can be more pious amongst us than Adam alayhi salam or Bani Adam? So attribution is genuine. We attribute it to a Nabi. So just an attribution is not sufficient. Just wishful dreaming is not sufficient. Then you need to have some type of a standard now. You say, alright, I got the standard, inshallah, things will work out. Like you've got a passport that is endorsed, right? You've got an endorsement, you've got a visa. So you're going to a foreign country, 99% of your mind is made up already, inshallah, I'll get through. There is one slight percent possible they will just reject you. There is the possibility. But don't you feel relaxed? Do you feel confident? Inshallah, I got a valid visa and inshallah, I should get entry into this country. You feel that confidence, you feel that type of certainty, you feel that calmness and that relaxation of the mind. And why shouldn't you feel that relaxed mind and the calmness when everything is valid? You are selling goods that are all valid, all proper license, valid goods. So don't you feel relaxed in your mind? Feel relaxed, I got all the documents, I've bought it, and alhamdulillah, it's all correct. But if it's stolen goods, how do you feel? One police is coming here, you know, he's coming to check me or what? So you're always on the edge. Why are you always on the edge? Because you know there's something not right here. But everything is all certified, you got the documents, everything is clear. Don't you have the peace of the mind? So exactly the same, the only person that can enjoy the peace of the mind is the one that is true in his faith. Like that businessman has got everything certified, everything is right. No plang, everything is right. Everything above board. So doesn't he feel relaxed? Doesn't he feel calm? Doesn't he feel very, very tranquil within him? Feels everything clear. But if there's something to hide, he's a policeman or someone looks like the SARS or something. How uneasy he feels for that duration until these people are gone. It feels very uneasy until that duration. So this relaxation of the mind, the absolute calm of the mind, is a consequence of you being conforming to the standard. But then what is the standard? There must be some illustration, some explanation to what is the standard. So Allah Ta'ala says, Fala. In other words, all these claims that you people have made is baseless. Jews, you have made some claims is baseless. Christians, you have made some claims, that claims of yours also is all baseless. You believed that Isa Islam died for your sins. So all these claims that you made is all baseless. Because like you see in this world, every person is responsible for his own burden. You don't see in any court that he committed a crime and that person is held responsible for his crime. You committed murder, so you're responsible. I can't hold you responsible for his murder. So all the more in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, each person is responsible for his own load. So the one problem is that we get confused with attribution. We think because of our attribution, therefore we'll come right. Either our lineage is right, or we associate with some buzruk or some pious person, therefore we'll get through. So that is the first wrong. Allah Ta'ala just demolishes that doubt, throws it out. Right. Then there is the second doubt that, oh, he died for our sins. He did everything, now we'll just get through. We'll gap through. Because we come from the family. When you come from the family, then he's enough for us. So both these claims, these ideas, all have been rejected. Bala, la, fala. Wa rabbik. Then, to emphasize the point, so that you can become convinced, as everything else, every other notion, every other concept and belief is out of the door, thrown out. Wa rabbik. By the honor of your Rabb. By the majesty of your Rabb. The only accepted norm is what? Fala wa rabbik la yu'minun. Your faith is not acceptable. You don't have faith. Your faith is not acceptable. It's rejected. Fala wa rabbik la yu'minun. Your faith is unacceptable. Until hatta yuhakkimuka fima shajara bainahum. In all your disputes, all your problems, matters, affairs you have, then you have to accept Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your judge, final judge. Whatever he says is final. I said, you have to accept him, not that you have to make him. Because he's already made by Allah as the judge. The normal translation will go as, until you make him the judge, right? In other words, you accept him as the judge. But he's already been appointed as the judge. From this verse of the Quran, Allah has already appointed him. So in all your matters, when Allah Pak says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنُمْ. Without exception, all your disputes, all your problems, in other words, whether it is an affair related to your belief, then too you'll have to conform to the standard of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No discrepancy, no inconsistency will be accepted. What was his faith? You'll have to accept that. Then you can't be selective in your faith. In your belief, you'll have to accept it. Whatever he says, the amanna wa saddaqna, I must accept without exception, without reservation, without hesitation, I must accept whatever faith he has declared, and whichever faith he has spoken about, what faith he has displayed, I have to accept that. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. If he's spoken about something, I must accept it. He's spoken about life after death, then I must accept it. He's spoken about قَدْرُ وَخَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The taqdeer is from Allah Ta'ala. Whatever is destined will happen. Whether I like it or don't like it, but it is destined. And he's spoken about it, he's advertised it, and he's spoken about it, so I accept it wholeheartedly. Without exception, I accept it. Whether he spoke about faith, whether he spoke about actions and deeds, and my actions also, are they conforming? My namaz, my roza, my zakat, etc. That also have to be in conformity with the same standard. Otherwise, I won't get that pass mark. I want that pass mark. I want to, when I'm in the bureau of standards, then I want to be ticked off. So your actions as well have to be in keeping with the standard. Then I can't say no, or this action I will do it right, and that action I'll be a little bit weak. You have to get your actions and your deeds also conforming. So that is the second aspect. One is your belief needs to be right. Then your actions and deeds need to be right. And in your deeds and actions, there will be two dimensions. One is the inner, one is the outer. The inner we call amal, namaz, roza, zakat, outer, right? And the inner we call akhlaq. So your outer must also be in conformity, and your inner, that is your akhlaq and character, that is your intrinsic, your inner values, character, ways, your niyat, all is also conforming with that standard of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi said, you don't have to keep any type of malice in your heart for anybody, any filth. I'm keeping to that. I try my best not to have any type of filth and malice in my heart. And he spoke about me not being jealous of anybody. I won't be jealous of anybody. If I've got the problem, I'll find out. I'll try and rectify myself. I won't remain comfortable until I don't attempt to come to that standard. I will try, even if it's my last breath, but I will try and match that standard that Nabi spoke about. So then there's two dimensions in deeds, the inner, the outer. Then you come to dealings. In the dealings also we'll have to conform. Now sometimes what happens wrongfully, we feel that deen is only about namaz, your faith, and your deeds. Dealings and all, Islam doesn't speak about your dealings. Your dealings, you are free to do what you want. You make your namaz, you go for hajj and all that, everything is sorted out. But even your dealings, are your dealings right or not right? I lent you 10 million, for example, right? And I'm asking you for 10%. Isn't this interest? Now, the normal person feels not interest, this is my profit. I'm getting profit over the 10 million. Right? So this is pure interest. The bank does the same. They want 10%. You want 10%. So what's the difference between what you are doing and the bank is doing? So the way we get misled is we feel Islam has got nothing to do with dealings. Islam is only to speak about actions and faith, nothing else. That is a Christian psychology. It's their philosophy. It's not our philosophy, it's not our belief. Our belief is you need to get the dealings also right. And mind you, this whole verse was revealed on an aspect pertaining to dealings. This whole Bukhari Sharif comes about Zubair radiallahu anhu. He's got a farm, neighborhood of farm, and there's a stream that is running. So he's running past the Zubair's farm first, and thereafter passing the farm of the neighbor. So the law, the system of the Sharia is that if the stream is coming through your farm first, then you have got the first right to do your irrigation and allow the stream to flow thereafter. You will take water, how much water will you take? To the requirement of your farm. And the requirement that they show is about, say, approximately 15 centimeters. Just till about your ankle, or slightly more than the ankle, this is the amount of water you have been allowed to preserve for your farm. You've got that water, then you won't stop the stream, you allow the stream to flow into the farm of your neighbor. Now this is the law of the Sharia, this is the system. You are first, so in line, so you will allow the stream to flow into your farm. And thereafter, then it's the turn of your neighbor. So now, the neighbor is disputing by, allow my farm to be irrigated first. Zubair says, well, my farm is first on the way, I've got the right. Anyway, this dispute is brought before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is the final judge. Whatever he says must go. I must accept and I must agree, and you must also agree. So it's brought to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as a settlement out of court, he says to Zubair, that he's his cousin, alright, Zubair, take little less than what you are. What's your Shari right? You've got a Shari right, so take little less. Just try and see that your farm is just moist. Your plants are just moist. And after that, allow the stream to continue on to your neighbor's side. So this was a settlement out of court in his favor, in the neighbor's favor. But the neighbor said, in kana ibna ammatik, just because he is your foy son, just because he is your cousin. On account of him being your cousin, therefore you are relaxing it here. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was disappointed on this occasion. He was disappointed. Now he says to Zubair, you take your full right. After you have taken your full right, then you allow the stream to flow. Man can't understand what his consideration. We made such a consideration for you. We relaxed the whole thing for you. And then too, you're not agreeable, you're not appreciative. Now we'll go to the original. The original is this amount. So now, when you're not accepting this consideration, you're not respecting the consideration, you go to the original. But the kamal of the muhaddisin is, they don't mention the name of this neighbor. They say it was an Ansari, but they don't give the name. Perhaps the reason is that, if he was a weak Muslim, say he was a Muslim but he was weak. Now, for the rest of time, they will badmouth this person. We'll bad one, this is what he did. So they just covered him up, they didn't mention the name, but they related the exact incident as a lesson for us. Because this verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed on that very occasion, impressing upon us that it is not just faith. It is not just dealings. It is not just actions, but dealings as well. Then what dealings, then social etiquettes. Social etiquettes in Urdu, we'll say rehen sehen, uthna behna betna rehna sehna. How do you socialize? How do you live with each other? Whether it's your marital life, whether it is life with the children, whether it is life with your friends and colleagues. So how do you associate? How do you socialize with them? The one person came 2 days ago, so he's saying, no, hey, my life is very, very busy. I'm very busy. Deeni work and whatever other work I'm doing, I'm very, very busy. So mashallah, you're very busy. So what do you want to see after that? So I'm so busy now, I don't have the time to do the shopping. So I give my money, my wife the money, say 200 rand, take it and pay the taxi driver same to take you wherever you need to be taken. See, you do all your business, he'll take you around wherever he needs to take you around, and then he'll bring you back home. The 200 rands. Right? Now, is this right? You see, the social etiquettes. He thinks يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنْ. He thinks that he's doing a wonderful thing. But now, this woman is going alone with this taxi driver. And then, what about the hadith which says, when you're going to be secluding yourself with a stranger, then the third person is shaitan. So when you go beyond the limits of moderation, obviously you're going to rob someone to pay someone. You robbed yourself, your personal respect, the respect of your wife, so that you can do some khidmat. No, Allah is not acceptable. You do this and you do this. You get this right and you get this right. Rather, if you can't manage this properly, then just decrease it. But then it doesn't mean that you are doing this, therefore you got a concession on that. Now, that's how we think. No, no, I'm doing this dini work, so I got a concession on that. No. That is a duty on its own. This is a duty on its own. You will respect this like you will respect this. Otherwise, I can't be robbing him to go and pay him. So this whole verse was repeated on that occasion. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنُهُمْ. In all your affairs, you will have Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the judge. No matter what it is, small, big, no matter whether it's related to your faith, it's related to your actions, it's related to your dealings, it's related to your social etiquettes, you will appoint Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the judge in all affairs. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنُهُمْ. Now, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his own personal capacity, now this whole verse was revealed, it's about 10 verses of the Quran that were revealed all at one time. But what a great lesson that this whole verse teaches us. It's 10 verses. It's a famous incident we may have heard, where there was a case brought to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the munafiq then said, let's take this case to Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard about this, that did you take it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Did he pass judgment upon it? And now you bring it to me. So he beheaded the person. That incident is quite popular. We have heard of the incident, right? He beheaded the person. That if Nabi Sallam has taken a decision here, then that means that you are not pleased with his decision, therefore you are coming to me. So when you are not pleased with the decision of Nabi Sallam, then you got no faith. There is no iman. You got a cover of iman, but really there is no faith in you. If you had the faith, then when Nabi Sallam said something, then you should have accepted it. Then you can't say, no, like this, no, just wait on, you know, hold on, and you know, I need to take 90 billion from the bank so that, you know, I can do this property here. And thereafter I'll make Tawbah. Because I'm doing so much of Islamic work. See? But hey, that's not the standard. You can't rob one to pay the other. You want to do for Allah Ta'ala, but that doesn't mean now you want to do that, so you rob here. What's the difference between interest and robbing? I ask, is there any difference? This is haram, that is haram. I want to go and rob. I see now there's a very wealthy person here, I want to rob him to go and feed the people all that are starving in Komasi, for example. My intentions are good, isn't it? Allah Pak knows now. My intention is very good. I want to feed all the people that are suffering in Komasi. But how I want to do it? I want to rob these people to go and pay these people here. Is that right? So like this is not right. I cannot say I want to take 90 million here. Because I'm doing all the dini work. And therefore I'll take that 90 million from the bank. Pay the interest, but I'll do all this dini work afterwards. Can't say. See the reasoning. You can't rob one to pay the other. To be fair here, you have to be fair here. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Look at the calmness and the sanity and the straightforwardness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This incident has come up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu has beheaded this person here, right? The folks of this person, this munafiq, come up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they launch a complaint. Because Umar radiallahu anhu has beheaded this person. This was the case, and Umar radiallahu anhu has beheaded the person. And they are making up a covered up story, you know, we referred the whole case to Umar radiallahu anhu so that نريد إحسانا وتوفيقا. We just wanted some type of a reconciliation. We wanted some type of a reconciliation, some settlement out of court we wanted. That's why we want. It's a cover up story. After the incident. The incident took place here. They were not happy with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, they come to Umar. Now, after the incident, it's a cover-up story. You see? Now, how many times it happens to us that we don't make up a cover-up story for ourselves? Do we do it or not? Or this person will come, so I'll make a cover-up story. Now, yahan to chal jayega. When you're going to make up a covered-up story, it will work here. But by Allah Ta'ala, can it work? Can't work by Allah Ta'ala. You covered it up very nicely, you polished it up, glossed it, everything, very glossy finish. It worked here. But by Allah Ta'ala, will it work? Can't work by Allah Ta'ala. So, when this whole case came up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first, so what was the response of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately? What was his immediate response? So he says, مَا كُنْتُ أَظُنُّ أَنَّ أُمَرَ يَجْتَرِئُ عَلَى قَتْلِ رَجُلِ مُؤْمِنٍ. I can never imagine that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had the guts to kill a Muslim. In other words, this speaks about the personality of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his level of justice. I can never imagine that Umar radiallahu anhu took the courage to kill a Muslim. I can't believe this. How could he do this? In other words, he didn't come to the side of Umar radiallahu anhu. Did he come to the side? No. How can Umar do this? That he killed a Muslim. How did he do this? See this. This is a lesson for us. If it is a member of our group, our friend, our circle, right? My child. So, what's my first response? I try and cover up for him. Oh, this is what my child did. Oh, he's a member of the group, member of the circle, so we try and cover up for him. Don't we do this? This is what he meant, this is what he did. So we covered up. But here, Umar radiallahu anhu is about the closest person to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Apart from being the father-in-law of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the closest person to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But here again, no discrimination. How could Umar do this? Until the verse of the Quran Sharif revealed that this person was a munafiq. And this is what he did exactly. Now those people had no face because they knew exactly that they were putting up a cover-up story. They knew it themselves, that they were covering it up for their person. Because now they had no face. The person, he carried himself as a Muslim, but deep down he had hypocrisy. Deep down he had disbelief. And they knew about it. But just to save their image, their reputation in the public, this is what they went and did, you see. Now, how many times this doesn't happen? Just to save our reputation, respect, here, I did something wrong, unda, danda, or something. And then I make up a cover-up story for my child or for whatever else, right? Now, it will work here, but will it work by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is the point that we learn here. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ. When it is a question of justice, then we'll need to see the justice meted out. It's not to do with justice, then it's a different procedure. For example, it's your son or your daughter or something, right? And she's married somewhere, alright? The in-laws are complaining, oh, she did this. Maybe it's a mismanagement. It's not to do with justice. It's to do with cooperation, how she cooperates, how she carries herself. So it's nothing to do with justice. Right. Your daughter may have one style, and her in-laws may have a different style. She may have one approach, and they may have a different approach of doing things. So you can't fault them, you can't fault her, you can't fault them. Both are right. It's your approach, it's her approach. But you can't force your way onto her, and she doesn't force herself onto you. She's got an approach, she's got a style, you got a style, right? But you can't force your ways onto her, and nor does she force her ways onto you. Right? So when they are talking in that language, then you will then have it, you will bring about a reconciliation. How you bring about a reconciliation is you won't make your daughter feel insignificant in the presence of her in-laws. You know, what she's doing is right. You got no right to speak against her. Provided they are understanding people, so you'll have to speak to them in that level. So that they don't then resent and look down and condemn your child. You know, the man is standing firm for the rights of his daughter. And if you're going to say, no, you are right and she must just succumb and all that, as though she's a piece of dirt. So they won't show her respect at all. So you'll have to show respect to her. But in the quiet, when you're talking to her, they say, alright, you know what? Just relax, you know, don't become too hard now. See, now that's a out of court settlement. It's a settlement, you know, you're trying to work it out, alright.
she's doing what she's doing and she's doing right. So I don't have the right to run her down. But anyway, she has to live with her in-laws. Let her be a little bit more pleasant. No mind, she will give in some of her rights so that she can have a better understanding with her people. So it's a different approach there, you see. So one is justice and one is just a management, administration. Administration is a different thing and justice is a different thing. See, now people don't understand these finer points. And when they say they don't understand these finer points, they say, oh, it's not justice. These are all lengthy topics in the time of Alamgir Aurangzeb. He was one of the most beautiful and greatest king of India. His ruling was for approximately 50 to 60 years. Only a Mughal king whose kingdom lasted so long. Three people are brought in for the same crime. One, two, three, all three same crime. But in the Sharia, there is one punishment that is stipulated. You can't make any adjustment. Stealing and amputate the hand. Finish. Right. Person committed zina and he wasn't married, so flog him. Stripe him with 100 flogs. Right. So that is for zina, this is for stealing. There is no compromise, there is no negotiation. You can't negotiate the terms. Finished. But then there is the other punishment which is left to the discretion of the court. The court will see into the case and it will use its discretion what is to be done in this type of a situation. Right. So there the court will see and will put in some type of a penalty that serves as a deterrent. You don't just punish the person for the sake of punishing, but so that it can serve as a deterrent. What is the need for a penalty? Penalty must be a deterrent, not to kill the person, but must serve as a deterrent. So anyway, three people have committed the same crime, and the crime is coming to the king. The king is Aurangzeb Alamgir Rahmatullahi, Shah Jahan's son, right? So the one person, he just stirred at him, that's all. Just looked at him, gave him a little bit of a stiff look. And the second person, he shouted him a little bit. Not too much, shouted him a little bit. And the third person, he beat him up. 30 lashes, right? Now, the people that are around in the court, they say, this is not fair, man. Same crime. This person here, you just gave him a stiff look. This person here, you shouted him, and that person, 30 lashes. So he says, "Afsos ki baat, it's a pity you people don't have the vision that I have. Alright, just go and understand the whole case. Go and see this. After a day or 2 days, just go and see these three people. Just go and see them." They made a commission of inquiry. They went. First, second, third. First person they went, they saw all janaza preparations are going. What happened? That, you know, the king gave me a stiff look. He couldn't come to terms with it, you know. The king, and he had to give me a stiff look. You know, I got no place in the society. I got no face to live with. He gave me a stiff look. I'm a criminal in their sight. What do they think about me? What's going to be my reputation like? The king had given you that type of a look. So he took it so serious, one day's time, and he's gone, finished. Second person, the paramedics, doctor, everybody is there now, rushing him to the hospital. He's serious. He couldn't take it. The king had shouted him, reprimanded him, can't take it. And when they went to the third person, he's back to his own tricks. He said, "Well, I caught it just now, I'll catch it again, what's wrong? I caught it one time, I'll catch it again. It doesn't make a difference to me." You see, three different people, but how do you carry yourself? So, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. That's the first requirement for you and for us to be in conformity. The second requirement is, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ. Then within yourself, you don't find any type of a constraint, any restriction in accepting the judgment and the decree of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He passed a judgment, then you don't find any type of restraint. Hey, why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I have to say this now, you know. Can't take interest now. Hey, you know, how much coming here? From this account, we're getting 100,000 rand we're getting. Can't take 1 cent. Hey, see this kufar, they can take it, man. They can enjoy. Ramadan month came, now we have to fast. Now, these people, you see how they're enjoying and celebrating. Okay? So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has passed a judgment, that we don't find any type of constraint in accepting his judgment. No matter what level of life it relates to, whether it's our faith, whether it's our dealings, whether it's our action, no matter what, you know, namaz have to go for namaz. See, this is the final now, cup final, man. Can't come again, you know. It will only come after 1 year. You know, this is like the crucial, most crucial moment now. Namaz, I can push it, I can always do qaza or something about it. Namaz had to come now. See? Youngster is talking to his girlfriend, you know, and he's talking. Meanwhile, you know, when they say that times are very enjoyable, the time passes very fast. It's enjoyable time, good moments, they just move like that. And hard moments, struggling, stretching, isn't it? Meanwhile, he hears the muazzin's azan. Hey, the muazzin called azan the wrong hour. Because the time went so fast. You see? It went so fast. So, لا يجدو في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت. On the decree of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you don't find any type of constraints. No restriction within your mind, mentally, physically, emotionally, no restraint whatsoever. But by the same token, if Nabi Sallallahu's decision has to be accepted without any type of constraint, then the decision of Allah Ta'ala, all the more it must be accepted without any type of constraint. The decision of Allah Ta'ala, how will it work? It will work in different ways. Sometimes in your business, sometimes it's going very, it's prosperous, sometimes it's taking a dip. Sometimes it's your dear and near one, and there's a death. How you respond to it? Sometimes it's sickness and health. How do you respond to the situation? Sometimes it's a person that is very intelligent and he's just progressing and he's just making strides. He's just getting popularity. And there's another person that can't. He's striving and he's working, but he's not making the type of progress. He can't just retain things. He can't just understand concepts so well. Or he's understanding, but he can't preserve it. So now, in all this, what are you supposed to be doing? Then, لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَدَيْتْ. It's a divine decision. I did the necessary. I took all the procedures. Thereafter, the decision lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. السَّعْيُ مِنِّي وَالْإِتْمَامُ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Our work is to put procedures in place. Our work is to see to it that we took all the precautionary measures. After that, the decision lies with Allah Ta'ala. Man fell ill, so we'll follow procedures. Procedure is to administer medication, hospitalize the person, see the right type of medication is given to the person at the right hour, right time, make dua, etc. We did everything, make dua, give sadaqah, hospitalize the person. If he continued his life, alhamdulillah. If he recuperated, very good. But if he died, then it's not a loss. In other words, we proceed as a place for the moment, because we are human, we feel that feeling of separation. Undoubtedly we'll feel. But also we know mentally that that was the better thing for him and for us. So we believe and we are certain that that was the better thing. We don't ask for that calamity, but if it comes our way, it was the better thing. Because we don't know what the future holds for you, what it holds for us. Other than many times when I hear of a person dying in this day and time, you know. And if he died in a nice way, with iman, etc., outwardly, it's, well, he read his namaz and then he died or something. Then I feel, you know, a death with iman is better than a trillion lives. Not a million lives, not one life is better than a trillion lives. You got iman. It's better than all the world, whatever it contains. You got iman and you went. What else you need, boy? You got the passport, you got everything else. Now what else do you need? The person that is alive, he needs to be worried. But I still got fitnas. Some problems, some trials, some challenges. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to the children? What's going to happen to them? And because of them, I don't know what I will be doing. Sometimes you fall into the problem. And sometimes you fall into the problem because of your children. Doesn't it happen? Because of the children, now you fall into problems. But you've gone free, clear, clean. Isn't that a blessing? So you look at it from a different dimension, and this same tragedy that looks like a tragedy becomes a blessing. That is why a Muslim doesn't easily fall into a depression. He doesn't easily, unless there is some type of a family history, you know, they got some sickness or something, that is a different thing. But easily he won't fall into a depression. Because there is the concept and the belief of continuity. You know, there's a brighter life. There's something better in store for that person. Alright, we feel agonized, we feel grieved because of the separation. But then there is another beautiful life for this person that's awaiting him. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَدَيْتُ. You see, you don't find any constraint. Whether it is the decision of Allah Ta'ala, whether it is the decision of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we don't find any type of constraint. Now the constraint come in two ways. One is, like I said, why did this command come, you know, no interest, no gambling, nothing. And one is, sometimes the Shariat makes a relaxation, makes a concession. The founder of Darul Deoband, Mawla Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi, in his final illness, he used to force himself, make wuzu, and then perform the namaz. Force himself. So all great saintly people, but others are witnessing that he's forcing himself, he's going through a lot of pains and difficulties to make that wuzu. But sometimes someone is in a really bad way. But now, sometimes it happens that in spite of you going through that patch, but you don't feel comfortable until you didn't do that wuzu. It's a mental thing, you know, you don't feel that type of comfort. So he's forcing himself and making wuzu. Now, a buzruq that was of his level, Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi, he came in and he saw that Mawla is going through this difficulty. So he explained to him, you think that you're doing something great by forcing yourself. When you can't manage it, you know, then to you forcing yourself to make wuzu, don't you know that there is hadith which says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَى رُخَصُهُ كَمَا يُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَى أَزَائِمُهُ. Like Allah Ta'ala wants you to follow the commands that are emphasized, the concessions that He's given, He would like you to accept this as well. He loves you to accept. I made this concession for my bandas, and they're not accepting it from me. I made a concession for him. Well, he doesn't think anything about my concession. How Allah will take this? How will he take it? That I made this special consideration for you and you just totally disregard this. Like it's your, you know, you have come in from a safar or something and your mother said, I'll make some pastries for you or some croissants with fresh cream and strawberries. And then you don't take notice of the mother's compassion and love. How does she feel? She did this of her own, right? We didn't pay for it. But when she presented it, she said, no, I don't need it. It's alright. Why you took the trouble? Let's keep it on side. How does she feel? Does she feel appreciated? All the mehnat, all the difficulty that she went through. And you show no regard, scant regard for all her difficulty. So Allah Ta'ala has made the concession for you. And then you show no regard, no appreciation for that. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that. So he came to his senses, you know, I must do tayammum then. One is a little bit of difficulty that you would endure and you would do it. Like, for example, if you're a little bit ill, but you can manage performing your namaz standing. So you will do it. No, a little bit ill now. Slight ill. Dawa. Sit and perform my namaz. No, I won't come to the masjid. But you're slightly ill, but don't you go to your business. You take two double dose of something and you carry on. So in the small little illness, you manage your other affairs. When you manage your other affairs, then why must namaz suffer? Of all things, why must a namaz suffer? Everything else is carrying on. Like everything else is carrying on, this must also carry on. A slight rain, you know, the Shariat has given us an allowance that in the rain, we don't have to go for namaz. But your business is carrying on. You're doing everything else, then why must you only be selective for namaz? Only namaz must suffer. Yes, if your business is not going, you don't go for your namaz also. That's a different thing. But no, namaz. This is a concession, divine concession I've got. I must appreciate the full. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَدَيْتِ. You see that both ways, whether it is for you, it is against you. It's a relaxation, or it's something that has been emphasized. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala, both are acceptable. It's coming from the beloved. When it's coming from him, I must accept it. My concession, I must take it. I mustn't leave my concession. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَدَيْتِ. And then the last verse, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And then you not only accept it without any type of resistance, any type of constraints, but وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, with a cheerful conviction you submit. You don't just submit, but cheerfully. Allah Pak will come. I'm doing it. Not with grudging, now, hey, namaz time now, phir namaz padna chahiye, wuzu kare, karna pare, to make wuzu again now wuzu. Again, the muazzin came up now, again he's calling azan. No other job you got in the world. With a cheerful conviction, I'm accepting. It's Allah's command, I must do it. I love to hear it. I'm waiting, hey, when the muazzin is going to say the azan now, I must go to the masjid now, we're not waiting for it. The reward for it is so great. Intizaru salati ba'd salat. Amongst the people that will be enjoying the shade of the throne of Allah Ta'ala, what is that person is waiting? Time is up. Meanwhile, you understood that your watch was wrong. But you want that azan, you anticipating, you want that azan to go. You want to go to the masjid again. So as though mentally, emotionally you are in the masjid, although physically you are in the business. Physically you are at home, but your heart and your soul and your mind, your emotions are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that great? Rather than you being in the masjid and your mind is in front of the television. Hey, you know that. What must be doing? Who's scoring the goal now? Yeah, I'm missing out, man. I don't know when this Imam Sahib is pulling the namaz, man. Today he's doing sabbi ismaf all the days. We say, Ibn Anzalna, Kulwallah, and finish the namaz. Of all the days today, he had to read sabbi ismaf and was samai dhat al burud. The longest surah he could find, he chose it for this day. So that he can ensure that we don't see the World Cup. See, Imam Sahib is causing it for us. See, our mind is working. So, in that case, your mind is in front of the television. Physically, you are in the masjid. But in the first case, your heart is in the masjid. But physically, you are at home. What's better, I ask you? Therefore, Abu Zughanuddin, for many people, they say, people like us, they say, bhai, you rather stay where you are and go to the Haramain, Sharifain, occasionally. Because it's better for you to be here and your heart to be there than for you to be there physically and your heart and your mind is here. What's happening in South Africa? What's happening in England? What's happening here? How's my business doing? And how's my properties doing? How my investments are doing? Rather than the other way around, you rather be here but your heart is there. Your heart is there. Your soul is there. Your mind is there. In that there is respect. In that there is love. In that there is progress. But if your heart and your soul, everything is here, and you are there physically, really, you're losing out. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. So you accept with cheerful convictions. The hukam of Allah, I want to do it. I want to do it with cheer. I want to do it with respect. I want to do it with love. Therefore, Abu Zughanuddin say that in good deeds also, we escalate and we come up gradually. We don't exhaust all our stamina and all the enthusiasm. See, you got enthusiasm, right? And that enthusiasm has to be used, and has to be used a little bit with moderation. Because if you're going to exhaust your enthusiasm, in the next occasion, you're not going to do the ibadat with that type of enthusiasm. The example for that is that you ate a biryani, right? And you ate for tomorrow, so one time, right? Now the next meal, are you eating with enthusiasm? Hey, enough now. I don't want to see this biryani again. But you ate just 3/4 plate and you left 1/4 space. Hey, I'm looking for that next dish. Today is a wedding. Tomorrow is a walima. I'm just looking for it. Don't you want to eat that and you want to eat that with enthusiasm? So this law applies to all deen and dunya. That you don't exhaust all that enthusiasm. If you exhausted it, now you're not looking forward for the next session. But you use it with moderation, you did it nice, you're happy, and you're looking forward for the next session as well. Allah Baktu Fiyasi.